Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Episode number 33. It is go time. It is time to start the season. Jets 2.5-point dogs at home Sunday, week one against the Steelers. Now, got a couple of things I want to get into. Number one, of course, the AVT injury. Number two, whether or not some of you are going to or should boo Rodgers. And number three, it looks like there's going to be about 45,000 Steeler fans there because Jet fans are giving up the tickets. So tough way to open. Here we go. Tucker. All right. It sucks. There's no other way to go about this. It absolutely sucks. And the way I learned of this too, you know, I'm at WFAN, Boomer and Gio are on, and it's probably about 9:30, and I'm getting ready, finishing up our meeting for the show, me and Sal and Huff. And I'm going to get some water, or maybe at that point coffee, and I'm walking by their studio, and I hear Jerry's update, and I hear about AVT. I'm like, you got to be kidding. But I caught the tail end of it. I go into our studio, go on social media, hop on X, AVT, Schefter, Boom. Yep, it's really his account. No bullshit. He's out. Now, you didn't know to what extent, but you knew it was pretty dire. You didn't know exactly what it was. Was it a biceps? Was it a triceps? It's the triceps. And now you get a little more information as the day goes on. It trickles in all probability, out for the season. All right, first of all, it does change what the Jets are going to want to do here. And now you're going to probably have to flip Tippmann, have him go to the right side, probably Myers jumping at center. You know, listen, you got to just trust that the Jets' depth is going to be a whole hell of a lot better than it's been in recent years. I don't necessarily trust that only because of the way I've told you now all summer, the way the Jets are going to try to play, and that's going to, you know, run at 32, 33, 35, some games maybe 40 carries in the conventional sense with two really good backs, and their third's actually okay as well, but also with Justin Fields getting, you know, five or six designed runs and then two, three, four off-platform plays where he just scrambles and he makes something happen because he's a great athlete. So, you know, listen, guys, there's really one or two ways to handle this. You can latch on to the same old Jets. Here we go. Can't have anything nice. Even when you have some optimism, season's over. You know, I'm not going to take that approach because I don't really believe that. But it obviously does change what they're going to do, as I just said. Or you can just plow forward, understand that, number one, it's not going to be the first bad injury, that the Jets have this year, and that the Jets won't be the only team that is adversely affected by a very unfortunate injury. It's not a hamstring. It's not a pulled quad or whatever. I mean, it's a 300-pound man who gets paid to push other 300-pound men around, and when your tricep is basically hanging off the bone or shattered or rips in half, whatever terminology you want to use, it's obviously going to deter them and prevent them from doing to the extent of what they want to do. To what degree, I don't know. I've got to see the reconfiguration. I've got to see the actual scheme once they start. Because the one thing that we didn't see this summer, and I wasn't surprised because it was going to be a fairly benign approach, was Justin Fields running rampant. I know he had that 14-yard touchdown run against the Packers the first preseason game, but they wanted, understandably, he didn't play a lot, and you wanted to keep him out of harm's way, and why have him accrue unnecessary hits when it doesn't matter? So they're going to unleash Fields in a way that's going to be much different than what you saw as a Jet in the preseason. But there's no way around it. It's definitely deflating. It's a bit of a morale killer. It absolutely sucks, but hey, you know the name of the podcast, Unkillable, and if you let this, even though it's not a small thing, it's not like the third tight end or the backup nickel corner or the second or third safety was part of a rotation, it sucks. I mean, AVT is an outstanding player. He's not good. He's borderline phenomenal. He's one of the best at his trade when he's healthy. Problem is, he's never healthy. It is always something. And probably shame on us for counting on him or expecting him to be able to be healthy this year, because he hasn't really proven anything that would allow us to really think that way with any sort of confidence or clarity. Quite the opposite. I mean, AVT starts the year, He gets hurt. ABT's out for most of the season. And then, you know, rinse and repeat. The only difference this year is that it's at the start and in all probability he's going to miss all 17 games. Absolutely sucks. It does. It blows. There's no other way to frame it. I'm not going to try to lie to you. It rattled me a little bit, but you know, we get, you know, we conjure up that, that hope, because right now that's what every team in the NFL has, even the bad ones like the Jets, going into the season. They've got to dispel that they're not bad. We can't just say that they're going to be good, even though we think that they could be better. They got to show it. So even with ABT, there's no guarantee that it would have looked the way we wanted to week one or week two or week nine or week 12. We'll see. Work in progress, but absolutely sucks. All right. The next thing on the list here is, and it's come up on the radio, and I've actually took calls on this, so I know this isn't me just pulling this out of thin air. We've talked about it, and I don't know what percentage, but there seems to be a fair amount of you who are already predisposed to walking into that stadium, those of you who haven't given up your tickets yet, the Steelers fans, which we'll get to next, and standing up and booing Aaron Rodgers. All right, so let's talk about the concept of booing. Like, why is it acceptable to boo, or why do people boo? Now, first of all, take a step back. I've never been a booer. You know, that's just not my thing. You know, I don't think I've ever stood up Yankee Stadium, the Meadowlands, maybe with Kotite, like, you know, just get this bum out of here. But it's I've never actually yelled boo. Like, even just the word is odd. Boo. You know, I've screamed, "What the fuck you doing? You know, wake up. You suck." So I guess loosely translated, that's my way of booing. But the inspiration to boo somebody, whether it's a Yankee, a Met, a Jet, a Giant, a Knick, whatever it might be, whatever team you root for, to me, it's got to be rooted in the reality of a few things. Number one, there's just a lack of engagement. You just don't look as if you're trying hard. And that's detectable, and that's obvious, and that's unacceptable. And if you are a booer, that's a license to boo as vociferously as you possibly can. That's number one. Number two, just like a lack of executing basic fundamentals. Like, you know, I'm Anthony Volpe's the example that comes to my mind right now. He's been wearing it all year, booting some balls, just not hitting it all, and really just taking a big step back. He's regressed in year three, and he's heard the boos. He's been showered with that negativity. And while I don't do it, and he's young, and I believe to an extent he's going to snap out of it eventually, provided he overhauls a lot of things with his hitting approach, which I also think has seeped into his defensive miscues. I think it's just more mental because I know he can field. But like, to me, not executing basic plays, you know, that's a license or a reason to unload. Like, you butcher a ball in the outfield, you butcher a ball at shortstop, your offensive line has back-to-back false starts when you know the snap count. What are you doing? Get your head out of your ass and do your job. Of course you can boo at that point. I think another reason that it's not only acceptable, but this is somewhere, and I don't even know if I've really been in a stadium for this, where I would be maybe inspired to boo, even though I'm not a conventional booer, as I said. Let's say player X is on your team, and then he decides to leave via free agency, or he's dealt and he says disparaging things about the team, whatever. Now, if it's a free agent and the team doesn't offer him a contract and he's got no recourse, if he wants to continue playing and he leaves, well, I think that's unfounded and unfair to boo somebody like that. But let's take Juan Soto. Juan Soto had a couple of decisions this offseason. He could stay with the Yankees where he hit 40 bombs in front of Judge and it was perfect, right? It was just unbelievable. Had a great season. Was an October hero. Got to the World Series. Performed well all postseason. And the Yankees gave him an incredibly competitive offer. Matter of fact, the Yankees offered him more per year AAV, actually higher than the Mets, right? So, but the Mets was more enticing because they gave him the suite. They made concessions for his family that the Yankees weren't willing, and which I agreed with, by the way, they weren't willing to do. Like, the Mets had to go above and beyond to get him to change his uniform. They did that successfully. Now Soto's on fire. Mets look better, and it's all good. But like, the first time Juan Soto showed up to Yankee Stadium wearing a Mets uniform, you bet your ass he deserved the treatment that he got. That's just personal. It is what it is. Like, if you're Pedro Martinez, And, you know, when he threw Don Zimmer down to the ground years ago in the playoffs there, or threw one over Kareem Garcia's head, which is dangerous, or, you know, him and Posada going back and forth, Posada pointed to his head and Pedro chirping to him. Well, all right, now you have a problem. Then we are territorial. This is what being a fan is all about. You know, you're going after my guy. I know who my guy is. You're not my guy, so I'm going to boo you if you are a booer. Again, those are all reasons to stand up and let somebody know you're angry with them, you're disappointed with them, what they did was unacceptable, whatever it might be. I just gave you a multitude of avenues where you have a complete, and I don't mean profanity in front of kids, but you've got a license to do you. And if you want to let it rip and let them know you're unhappy, go for it. Never going to say, don't do that. No, that's soft. And that's, I'm not telling you how to comport yourself for the most part. However, I'm going to try to give you a little guidance and a little bit of a roadmap as to why, if you're not sure how you're going to greet Aaron Rodgers, maybe this will sway you to the nicer side. Okay. Now, Aaron Rodgers didn't win shit here. So to get up, you know, in pregame warmups when he's introduced, whatever it might be, to stand up and applaud is ridiculous. He didn't win. You know, it wasn't successful. He didn't play particularly well, at least the first half of last season. There is no reason to stand up and support the guy. I prefer a more agnostic, a more benign approach, because he didn't do anything to you. So let's trace back, guys. Aaron Rodgers, he could have gone to the Raiders. He could have made a power play and had the Packers trade him to a more desirable position or destination, I should say. Instead, Aaron Rodgers, free of choice, free of mind, made the decision to try to come and help save our moribund, perpetually hapless, pathetic ass franchise. He did that of his own volition. Nobody held the gun to his head. It wasn't his only choice. It wasn't like nobody wanted him, and he just so desperately wanted to play football that the Jets were the only choice. So, yeah, all right, I'll go play for that shit team, even though I really don't want to, but I want to play football, so I'll go there. And, oh, yeah, by the way, what else did Aaron Rodgers do? Aaron Rodgers left money on the table for the Jets. Now, they didn't do the right thing with the money, of course. Lazard, Evan Turner, some of his teammates from Green Bay. Of course, the Jets, and they did the wrong thing. But that's not Aaron Rodgers' problem, nor is it his fault. Nor was he the impetus behind them. Well, I guess he was to an extent with his former Packer teammates, but he tried to do the right thing to set aside enough money to build out what at that point we all thought was already a pretty decent roster. Because go back and think about what we were saying about the Jets when they got Aaron Rodgers. He's the missing piece. And it wasn't just, that's maybe it was part delusional, and in hindsight, clearly did not work, obviously. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers was thought to be that last missing piece because they lost a lot of tight games. And I think they won 7 with Zach that year. They lost tight games. And we're sitting there saying, geez, well, I mean, if he could just throw a couple of more touchdowns, show a little more leadership, protect the ball, you know, have some more extended drives, protect the defense, not let them, you know, not let them exhaust themselves by the end of the second quarter because they're on the field all the time. But because it's always 3 and out, like there were real tangible football reasons to think that Aaron Rodgers would elevate the Jets. Didn't work out. But again, the motivation and the fuel from Rodgers' point of view was all rooted in good. Now, the other thing too, you want to tell me, well, he didn't want the Jets. He didn't want to elevate the Jets. He didn't want any part of being the guy, you know, tasked with trying to reverse this pathetic history of the Jets. What he really wanted was New York. He wanted, you know, the galas and the, you know, the museums, and he wanted to be, you know, at the Knick games, whatever he was doing, which he was doing all those, and I don't begrudge him for doing that. But I mean, I would even think that if you think that, which I think is erroneous, I think you're being unfair to the guy, because I got news for everybody. You could do more than one thing at the same time. You could be incredibly committed to your craft and completely diligent and all in and immerse yourself to the degree that Aaron Rodgers did. He was there early. He was there for OTAs. He was sitting there courtside with Sauce Gardner. And by the way, Jessica Alba, not a bad little side prize there, at the Knick playoff games. And he was going to, you know, Broadway shows with his offensive linemen, trying to build chemistry. I don't know. Maybe he's just a massive theater fan Or maybe, you know, he's curious and he has eclectic interest, but at the same time, he's like, yo, if I could get great seats for, I don't know, whatever, Hamilton, and I'm going to take five guys who are going to protect me this year in front of me in the old line, go out, get a steak, go out, have a couple of beers, go out and watch a show, and then take some Ubers back to New Jersey and call it a night safely. What the hell's wrong with that? Like, I just don't understand that line of thinking. Now, the other thing is, I probably should have said this before. There are, I don't know what percentage, I can't quantify it, but it's obviously more than zero. There's a percentage of you that just inherently dislike Aaron Rodgers, whether it's a political leaning or some of his other, well, what he's espoused. I get it. You know, he talks in circles, and I don't agree with everything that Aaron Rodgers has said, but I believe that at his core, while he's, I'll use the word eclectic again, he's a deep thinker. Some might call deep thinkers weird. I don't. I just think that they're deep thinkers and they stand on their own two feet with their intelligence, and they don't just subscribe to what everybody says should be the norm or what's right. And again, I don't agree with everything he said. I've been on the record with that. But I think inherently Aaron Rodgers is a good guy, okay? Aaron Rodgers wanted the smoke of trying to save the Jets, and you're going to stand up and boo this guy? What the fuck is wrong with people? Why? What did he do to you? And the other thing too, and I heard this, you know, when he was trying to come back, so he gets hurt against the Bills, four snaps in. I forget what game it was, but I believe it was a rainy day. I don't think it was the Giant game. Whatever it was, there was video before the game on CBS of him throwing, 10 feet, little, soft spirals, not even moving his feet, not shuffling on the field. And some of you were like, oh, look at this guy. All he wants is the headlines, me. Look at me. I'm trying to will myself back quicker than anybody in the history of modern medicine with the torn Achilles, the full rupture Achilles. Well, you know what? You know how I took it? I took it a very different way. I took it. Now, maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't think so, but maybe I am. But what I saw that day, aside from taking the bait like an idiot, thinking maybe Aaron Rodgers was Superman in terms of healing and could come back and get back for the season, right? I saw a guy who could not help his team during the games and couldn't do anything in practice outside of watch. So I don't know, maybe that was his way, how he internalized it, how he compartmentalized his place on the team and his lack of help at that point and his inability to do anything, maybe to inspire some teammates. And without verbally saying, hey, listen, guys, I mean, I just had this thing sewed. All right, full repair, and I'm out here shuffling around in a boot and a modified shoe. All right, and I'm at least showing a commitment to the team, and I haven't quit. I haven't tapped out. You don't think that he knew how unrealistic it was that he would make it back to get away? And I don't mean to just throw 20-yard passes in practice where it's modified, which he actually got to, or shuffle slowly and hand off and get the ball to his running back. I'm talking about doing it at a rate required by a professional quarterback with a 6'5", 275-pound demon blasting off the edge, trying to smash him in two. So, like, in hindsight, that was clearly unrealistic, and I'm sure he knew that because he knows his body better than anybody. But if I can't play in a game and I can't practice with any sort of oomph or meaning, well, this is my way of saying, hey, guys, listen, I'm trying to change the culture. Don't tap out. Don't quit. Maybe he's trying to inspire people. You ever think of that? So if that's true, and I believe everything that I just said is, again, I'm going to ask you the question. Why would you boo Aaron Rodgers? You shouldn't, but of course some of you will, because you'll have seven beers in you, or you hate his politics, or you hate his stance on certain things, or you hate him going on McAfee. That to me is petty, and to me that's missing the mark, but you obviously do you and you do what you want to do. I would be at the game. That's a game. I don't like going to games the way I used to. I used to have season tickets for a couple of years when Parcells took over. So I went a couple of games in 96 with Kotite, that 1-15 shit show. But I went to every game in 97, 98, including the playoff game against the Jaguars when Keyshawn had the pick end at the end with Brunell. Great game, put them on, into the Denver matchup, which they lost. I was there opening day when Vinny ruptured his Achilles, and then Tom Tupa came in and threw a touchdown to Keyshawn. And then I was there in 2000 a little bit as well. And then I was early in my career, and I was moving around the country, and I just couldn't go. I'd come home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and I wanted to hang out with my friends and family, so I didn't go to games, right? So I don't go the way I used to. I thought about going this Sunday, not for Rodgers, just for the Jets, for Aaron Glenn. And I decided against it for two reasons. Number one, and I would have been able as a dad to be okay with this because I know I'm very present. And if I'm not coaching my kids, which I do with everything, or not everything, a lot of the things and a lot of the teams they're on, I am always there to watch them play and root them on, right? From a distance. You know, some of you saw the story. Yeah, I got kicked out of a Little League game, but that's generally not me. I'm like, when I'm watching, when I'm just sitting there in my lawn chair, spitting seeds. You know, I'm not going to stand up like a lunatic when my daughter scores a goal as an 8-year-old in travel soccer, or, you know, my son rips a double as a then 9-year-old playing baseball. Like, I'm happy. You know, look at him, give him a little thumbs up. Good job. Hang out with some dads and just let it go. But I was going to go this week, and I was going to miss my daughter's first club soccer game. And I would have been okay with that because I'm always there, as I said. But I really, the only reason I'm not going is because the Giants play at the same time and I've got to do my job for WFAN. I've got to be able to get on the air on Monday and talk about every snap, because that's how I follow these games, the Jets and the Giants. Not to mention, I got to fire up the pod and give you an immediate reaction, which I did last year. And I actually did it like 25 minutes in, because I don't live far from the stadium. I left in the fourth quarter against the Packers. And me and my son came home, and by the time I got, it was like 3 minutes after the game, and I did it. So I guess there's a way to navigate that, but I'm not going. But if I did go, I would not cheer Aaron Rodgers. I would not boo Aaron Rodgers. I would react to what's in front of me. There would be no pre-thought or, you know, preconceived malice or anger. Why would there be? The man tried. The man physically failed. His body failed him. See, I don't look at it as Aaron Rodgers failed the Jets, even though in totality, that's the end result. They failed with him as the quarterback, and they devoted resources to bring him here. So you can say Aaron Rodgers failed the Jets. I say, because I think it's more fair and more accurate, that Aaron Rodgers' body betrayed him, which subsequently led to the Jets failing. You want to tell me I'm playing on words, or maybe I'm just being a little more humane and a little more rational? Do what you want to do. I think if you boo Rodgers, I think it's weak. I do. Now, last thing here. All right. So I have never been somebody ever, and I've been on the radio. My first job was in 1999. I have never been one, nor will I ever be somebody who tells you how to spend your money. I don't know what lifestyle you lead. I don't know what kind of money you make. I don't know what your expenses are. I don't know if you have alimony and palimony or whatever, or God forbid a parent died and you got saddled with debt. I don't know your situation, except to say that I hope it's good for everybody. But as we know, it's not. There's, you know, obviously the economy, last couple of years, rough spot. But what I don't understand here, all right, and I did want to say that because I really don't judge people for selling tickets to make a buck. I don't, especially when there's a throng of Steeler fans looking to pay 50%, whatever it might be, above market value, and you to really make money that basically pays for almost half the season or multiple games at the very least, right? A quarter of the season. I'm not going to do that. But what I'd like to know is, what's the inspiration, beside money, to sell your tickets that have now led to, based on the findings of Vivint, was the first one to have it, obviously a seat proprietor, whatever, like, you know, game day seat purchaser, whatever, however the hell you want to frame it, secondary market-ish, that 46% of the seats are now in the hands of Steeler fans. This is not week five where the Jets are 1-4. I know it might rain a little bit on Sunday, unfortunately, which actually could favor the Jets because they're going to run the ball. It's not, you know, early December where it's 17 degrees out and the holidays are upon us and you have your daughter's Christmas recital that you can't miss. You can miss a soccer game. There's certain things you can't miss. At least your wife wouldn't let you. And you shouldn't want to miss that either. But this is September. It's going to be warm. It might be a little wet. Big damn deal. So here's what's going on. it's not that you are reacting to the results of the season, because there are no results to react to yet. No wins, no losses, hasn't been a snap yet, no snaps. What you're doing, and maybe I'm thinking too much about this, and maybe I'm personalizing this too much, but Robert Saleh is not still the head coach. If Robert Saleh was the coach, and you were of the mindset, which, by the way, I would have been of the mindset, this shit's not going to change, he's not a leader, he's not a good coach, it's over, it's too late, it's done, and you want to tap out, and then you want to make a few bucks, I'd say, I don't blame you. It is Aaron Glenn, who, by the way, is one of us. He's a former Jet. And this man is going to come out of that tunnel, and he's going to see 40-something thousand, basically 42 or 43,000 of those. I mean, you love it if you're a Steelers fan, but from my perspective, 40-something thousand disgusting, terrible towels taking over MetLife, which sucks anyways, a stadium. I'm not here to sell you on the amenities of MetLife. MetLife is it's shit. I can't stand MetLife compared to other stadiums I've been to, and I've been to a bunch in the NFL. But that's what you're doing. Understand that. Now, also understand that I'm giving you a lot of separation between, if you're in a financial pinch, this does not apply to you. That's why I preface what I said with what I said. And I want to reassert that because it's important to me. I'm not counting your money. Just like I don't begrudge athletes for getting big money. Now, if there's a lack of effort, then I'll call you out for not holding up to the standard of the contract, right? That's different. Opening week one, you know, turning the page, new chapter, new energy, AG. What do I say? AG ain't playing. AG ain't playing. You can just tell with these press conferences. Every time he's asked something difficult, his answer is money. He was asked the other day, hey, Aaron, you know, what did you see on film with Aaron Rodgers? Took a complete pass. Now, if that's Robert Saleh, how do I think Robert Saleh answers that? Well, I mean, he just goes down a rabbit hole of nonsense. Well, he could still play, and he made some throws, and Aaron this, and I appreciate Aaron that. Fuck that. You don't need to get into that. Nobody wants to hear it. He ain't here. He's not the quarterback of the Jets. Don't need the scout report. Nailed it. Aaron Glenn. There's other times when he's been asked about, like the penalties or the offense. And it was a clean question. It was a good question. And then I think, I don't know, it may have been Samini. Rich followed up with a fair follow-up. And he was like, well, then he started to incorporate like the penalty. I think it was about the way they want to run the ball, like the offense. And then Rich talked about, which has been a massive issue, and until it's resolved, still is, penalties. And Aaron's like, no. We're talking about offense. We're not talking about penalties. Next. Like, he just shut it down so well. Like, this man, at least at the podium, is in charge. This man on the practice field is in charge. And this man literally is in charge of the team. And you are allowing 46,000 trespassers to come into our house, right? Our house, and make themselves incredibly comfortable and make it a pro day. There's going to be fewer Jet fans than Steeler fans. That's the reality of the 46,000 people that now have tickets that are either from Pittsburgh, how they traced it, you know, territorially speaking, geographically speaking, which they could easily do with the digital imprint, which they did. I mean, it's simple. So hopefully you're proud of that. I just think that that's weak. I really do. I'm very disappointed in that. Now, when it comes to the Jets and the fans and, you know, all the stuff, everything, all encompassing with the Jets, there's not much that surprises me because I've seen it all, from Kotite to Parcells to Rodgers going down four plays in and everything in between. Seen it all. But this does surprise me a little bit in a very disappointing way. Surprised week one, not week four when they're 1-3 or 0-4 or whatever the math is, 0-3 going into week four, or it's raining sideways or it's snowing, or it's a week before Christmas and you have relatives in from out of state. You just can't justify leaving for 9 hours, tailgate, game, post-tailgate. I get it. That's real life stuff. This is not attributable to real life things. This is you just laying down for Steeler fans. And it drives me nuts. So those are the three things. The AVT injury, I mean, what are you going to say? You can rant and rave like a lunatic. It's football. People get hurt. It sucks. It obviously compromises what they can do and who they're going to be. Next man up. Let's see if this culture, this new shift in mentality, if it's rooting a little bit, right? If the foundation's a little more stable and not as flimsy as it always is, which I believe it will be, certainly in time, hopefully starting Sunday. That's one thing. Boo and Rodgers, do what you want, but I think you're nuts and you're completely off base for doing it. And then, again, letting the Steeler fans overtake the stadium. So, let me call in my man, Evan, who I know, like me, is pumped up for the season. Getting ready. Any jet hat today? Every year, I got him. He's ready. So, the three things. I don't even think you need to touch AVT because it is what it is. What's your reaction to what I said? And if you disagree, let me know about how a lot of people seem ready to boo Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't really get that one because, like you said, you kind of laid it out really well where it's like, for the most part, I think most Jet fans wanted him gone in free agency, right? So it's like, it's not like a guy that you were – I mean, granted, there obviously was a segment. Like, we were kind of pro bringing him back depending on what the other option was.
Or if Aaron Glenn definitely wanted him back. I wanted to let him make the decision with Muji. Yep, keep going.
Yeah, but there was a decent segment that wanted him gone. And then you also – it's like he's not going to, like, a rival team. Like, I get that the Steelers are our rival this week, but he's not going to a team that's a direct rival of us and, like, you know, I guess the Giants to a degree, but then everybody else in the division. So he's not going to that. So it's like, I guess you're booing him on him underperforming, but one season he couldn't really do much about it. He gets injured the entire year. Mm-hmm. And then the next season, I understand it was an underperformance, but at the same time, is it something that we need to bring into this year? It's just kind of a wacky – it's kind of a wacky way of setting your brain, I guess, a little bit. I understand that the underperformance just makes people mad. Like, as a Met fan, Ryan Helsley stinking makes me want to boo him. And I don't know if he pitches against us next year and strikes everybody out, we'll boo him. I don't know.
He was a disaster again today against the Tigers. Hey, the next pitch he's going to throw should be for the Long Island Ducks. He is awful.
He's bad.
But
yeah, it's just one of those things where I kind of agree with you, where it's like there's not a really like thing that is like that's why I'm booing him outside of a little underperformance. And at the end of the day, it's like, oh well, it happened. You kind of got to move on. I don't really.
Yep. And what about all the Steeler fans with the Jet fans just saying, yeah, come on in. Here you go. Here's my ticket.
Yeah, that one's wild to me. I don't really get that because Steeler fans, I know how passionate they are because they've reached the level where they're almost kind of nuts in that it's like, oh, we finish above 500 every year, but we're calling mediocre Mike when half the teams in the NFL are like, dude, I take Mike Tomlin in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So it's like they kind of got a wacky brain. But yeah, I don't really understand that aspect of it either because it's like this is a new era. It would be one thing if we brought back Saleh and we just ran it back again.
Yep.
It's like,
I don't believe in this. I'm not wasting my time. You got to show me it's different before I come back. That's different.
Exactly. But it's a brand new era. You know, there's a lot of new guys, a lot of re-signed guys on the team that are going to be hopefully exciting to watch. So it's really like kind of a rant. I don't really get why that's a thing. And I guess the one thing that Jet fans might be like is like, I didn't realize I was selling it to a Steeler fan. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know who you're selling it to, a Browns fan or a Giants fan.
I know.
That's kind of
I get it, man. Hey, listen, I obviously understand, like, if it was the Steelers and it was deeper in the season, Jets, Bradford, that's one thing. There's certain marquee teams. Dallas comes. I'm going. I say I don't go to games that much anymore. I go to more road games, as you know.
Yeah.
But I'm taking the family. My wife's from Texas. My daughter's a Cowboys fan. I let my wife win that one. My son's a Jets fan. She wasn't winning that one. Firstborn Jets fan. No questions asked. He's a Jets fan. And we'll go to that. But like Dallas, oh, you can make premium money off Dallas. Maybe the Niners, the Eagles, the Raiders when they're good, which is very rare. But there's certain marquee teams that you're going to have a chance to make real money on. And I don't begrudge people for doing that. It's just the timing of it, which really bothers me. And by the way, I got a question for you. So I need your opinion on that. Let me reach back here. So I got a Jets jersey. I'm not a big jersey guy. When I used to go, and I was a lot younger, I was in my 20s, I used to, when Parcells was there, I used to wear Cravette. I had a Cravette jersey that I had made, if you're old enough or if you remember this or anybody obviously watching this, right next to the old Garden before they refurbished MSG, Jerry Cosby's. Remember that store, Jerry Cosby's?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. They were really known for hockey jerseys and that jersey's hockey sticks, skates, a lot of hockey stuff. And I had it ordered and it was really before Cravette even popped. I'm like, look at this little guy from Hofstra. How do I not get behind this dude? And I got it early. number 80, sewn on, stitched. Like, not a, it was like 300, like it was a real jersey. Yeah. And like an idiot, because I was young, I don't know if I thought that I was jacked, which I wasn't. I actually cut the arms, and I'd well, this is ridiculous, but and I used to walk in with a do-rag. Oh God. Like I was playing, like, and I used to wear, when it was cold, black baseball batting gloves that I still had from college. Yeah, so I think you would think that I was coming in to play special teams or something. It was insane. Yeah. Since then, I have a few jerseys that people have gotten for me, but I never wear jerseys. Here's my dilemma, right? And then I got one more question about what you're going to eat, what the game day week one meal is. I'm going to tell you mine too. So yeah. A listener sent this to the station, WFAN, right? Beautiful jersey, nice, right? Now, the problem is, maybe I would rock it, like if the Jets look good. Maybe I would mess up, because I know my wife's going to wear the Cowboys jersey when we go. I'll wear this. I'll make the exception. I'll wear it. Here's the problem, right? Now, the back, it doesn't say Tierney or, David Harris. Look what it says.
Oh, man.
Right, so a couple things. It says BT and Sal, if you're listening to this, right? It's an authentic, real, legitimate Nike jersey. You know, it says BT and Sal. Now, Sal's a Falcons fan. Admittedly, doesn't love them the way he used to. He used to love them, right? That was his team. Doesn't hate the Jets. Doesn't hate the Giants. Doesn't bleed the Jets. Doesn't bleed the Giants, right? Doesn't even really bleed the Falcons anymore. But he's not a Jets fan. So there's two problems for me. Number one, if I wear this the whole day, and you never know with the kids there, and I understand not everybody loves BT and Sal. Yeah. Some many do, but not everybody does. You know, we cause some issues sometimes on the show, you know. Right away, it's a license to right away. From the moment I walk in the parking lot, going up the escalator, I'm not sitting in the suite, going to the good seats, but going to the seat, I got to hear BT and Sal. Some of it will be good, some of it won't be. That's number one. And number two, he's not a Jets fan. So why the hell would I wear BT and Sal to a Jets game? Why would I wear it in public?
Yeah, no, that's... It's a nice gift, and I kind of get why they probably gave it to you, because they're a fan of the show, and they're like, this is your show, you know? But yeah, I know. That's
right?
First, when you first pulled it up, I was thinking it was David Harris.
That's what I said, yeah. Which is an odd one to send either. You know, send me Namath, send me... Rebet, say you send me Keyshawn, send me Vinny, send me even Farver Rogers, but David Harris was good, but it's a little random here, even though he was very good linebacker. All right.
Yeah.
So the last thing before we wrap it up, what do you now? You'll be home for the Jet game, like you have to be, because we'll do the post game. So you'll be home.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you eating? And I'm gonna tell you what I eat after. What is your game day, your go-to game day? And is week one a little more special than usual?
So, not necessarily. It's usually the most special one is usually when I'm going to somebody's house for the Super Bowl and they got like...
Yeah, so, you're a mooch. I mean, you go somewhere and they have good food. When you got to pay for it, you eat nothing.
But I usually go with like the pigs in a blanket and like chips and salsa and stuff like that.
So, okay.
It's like, not good solid for the or anything, but, you're working on it. So.
It's a staple. Let me tell you what I'm going to eat. Now, I'm going to have to thread the needle a little bit here because my daughter's got a soccer game at... I think it's a 10? No, maybe 11, but it's in the neighborhood right here. Even though it's travel, we don't have to, we're home. Absolutely. All right, so I think it's 11. And the beautiful thing about soccer is an hour. You know what time it's going to, it's at, it's exactly. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
If I had to leave early, of course I would. Everybody would understand. But now to be able to go to the store that I'm going to, that I always go to put the order in, that's an extra 25 that's packed on Sundays. I'll find a way to do it is the point. But what I'm going to eat, and I eat this every single Sunday, I'm going to get a monstrosity of Italian bread. And I'm talking, let me see, about at least this big.
Yeah.
Got to be the good one. And it's got to be soft, a little semolina. And it's going to be roast beef, extra thin, extra, extra thin, mozzarella times two, double order of mozzarella, a little pesto. So pesto kind of serves as the mayo, not a mustard guy, except on hot dogs. Little roasted red peppers, a little quart of cucumber salad, all right, which I will at times, like toward the end of the sandwich, dip the sandwich into the juice of the cucumber salad so it gets nice and soft. Oh my God, the flavor's through the roof. An orange soda. I never drink soda except on Sundays.
Orange
and soda. A bag of oil and vinegar chips. And by the way, I probably even sucked down a rice bowl at that point, too. How's that? How is that for me?
At first, I wasn't even thinking the detail of the sub. I was just thinking just getting like Jersey Mike's or some sort of – I mean, I grant that Jersey Mike's is like the very corporate one. You know, it's
we eat Jersey Mike's a lot because the kids are coming back from games. Well, exactly. You know, we can't always cook every night. No, I like Jersey Mike's, but not for
– No. But I was even thinking like just getting like a – like my uncle sometimes for a big party would get like one of those humongous super long subs. I think like 6 feet or something.
Yeah.
And then it's chop, and then you just get like you just keep getting a slice. You don't even realize how many you ate. But
you eat so many. The only time, Ev, the only time I'll mix it up every once in a while, I'll deviate. And I'll still get the cucumber salad, the orange soda, the bag of chips, oil, vinegar. And the only time I'll deviate from the roast beef and the roasted red peppers and all that stuff is sometimes I'll get chicken cutlet, not chicken cutlet parmesan, which I love. Who doesn't love that? Chicken cut, same thing, Italian hero with, you know, a little mayo, a little oil vinegar. Maybe I'll go that route. And every once in a while, and maybe twice a year, because you can't eat this too much. It's so fattening.
Yeah.
Massive calzone. Calzone is the most underrated thing you can get at a pizzeria. Yeah. Like, you know, you get, you know, eggplant parmesan, chicken cutlet parmesan, shrimp parmesan, obviously 9,000 different types of pizzas, salads, you know, the calzone. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I eat the whole thing. Nobody in my family, my wife, my two kids, nobody likes it.
Yeah.
That thing's got to have 5,000 calories. It has to. And then I'm dipping it. I'm just, what you want to talk about looking like a gavone? Like the game is on. And like when nobody's watching, I'll just take it like a slob and just dip it in the gravy, the sauce that they give you.
Yeah.
And I'll just like, I will not even chew it. If I can snort it, you know, like 80s, like cocaine, I think I would snort it.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal. So
that's like at Wawa recently, I went there and my brother was getting this crazy sub order. And they actually have a thing on the bottom of the screen. It says like, this is how many calories you're supposed to have in a day. This is how many calories your sub is right now. Like, oh man, that's
don't even put them up there. Who the fuck wants to be guilty? We know what we're eating. We know it's not good for us. Oh my god, wow, it's 1900 calories. Wow, I thought I was having salad and you know, and a cucumber and carrot on the side. I know what I'm eating. I know it's bad for me. Whatever, it's football season. I don't care. All right, man. So listen, guys, spread the word. Episode 33 is in the books. The ABT stuff. Drop some comments. Definitely want to hear from you guys. Booing Rodgers. All the Steeler fans taking over. Follow us on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you guys get your pods. I always tell you this every week. It's not like the Cowboy fans across the country, but there's Jet fans all across the country who move away from New York or Jersey or Connecticut, go down south, go out west. If they don't know about this, shoot them the link, shoot them the details. Unkillable pod. I will be right back as soon as we get triple zeros on Sunday, whether it's a 30-3 win or a 47-6 ass kicking. It's probably going to be somewhere in between. I will be right on live raw reaction. And those are always our best. I mean, because then I can react to the comments in real time and it's awesome. I'll be here after every single game, live reaction at least twice a week. You know, so Sundays are obviously self-contained during the week. Maybe a little bit more reaction to put a bow on what transpired before, get you ready for the next game. And there you go. And you know, but by the way, I might as well give you a little prediction here. I probably should do that. I do think the Jets can still run the ball. I'm not worried about the Steelers. They've got one wide receiver that worries me. Sauce should take care of that because his coach is not afraid or reluctant to let him shadow the best receiver. Something Saleh just didn't do enough, which drove me nuts, but I don't want to just bury Saleh all the time. But we know what happened or what didn't. So I think the Jets will run. I think they'll control the ball enough to keep it tight. You know what? This is definitely coming from the heart, probably a little bit more than the head. Give me a little, how about a little 20-17 Jets dub? How about that? How about we start with a win? You know, we get the Aaron Glenn era off on the right start. Yeah, there'll be a couple of penalties. Not as many as we're accustomed to, I hope. I think we'll see some inspired play. I think Fields, well, he won't throw the ball great because he's never going to. I think he'll do one, two, or three things where we're like, wow, we've never seen an athlete like that as a Jets quarterback because we haven't. And I think the defense is ready to play defense. And by the way, Rodgers does not usually play well week one His numbers aren't very good. Didn't play during the summer. Didn't take a snap. You know, he is 40, 41. The Jets should be able, even though their own line is okay and they're well coached, Jets should beat his grill enough to hit him, make him uncomfortable. Jets 20, Steelers 17. I'll catch you during the week every day, Monday through Friday on The Fan from 10 to 2. And after every game and at least once a week right here on Unkillable. Have a great week. I'll catch you guys on Sunday. Bye-bye.